whether she wants to be a B2B influencer on LinkedIn or she wants to be a TikTok influencer or she wants to be a YouTube influencer or a Twitter influencer. The great thing about attention is it's a free market.
Yeah.
It's like sports. If tomorrow you are good at YouTube and you had no success prior than that day, whether you've been bad at it for 3 years or you never did it before, the day you start, it will work. Attention is the number one asset.
Gary, nice to finally meet you.
Nice to meet you in person.
Finally. So we're in your hood and I have to say this view.
Not bad, right?
It's not bad. Because you know, we watch online. We're like, we're not seeing all of this.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, cool. So as you know, I've started a podcast, right? But here's the thing. It's very loose. I'm not trying to put a label on it. It's basically me chatting to peers in marketing, brand, as well as agency, and asking them like, where's marketing going? And then looking at the influential people that I actually have made it via the brands and saying like, what do you need from brands, basically? Now, I'm excited for our chat because, you know, I went through the archives, okay? And I basically feel like you've said some stuff, some iconic shit, right? Some of it has definitely landed, still stuck, but I think some stuff, you know, people give you a hard time on. So 5 questions, let's go through them.
Let's do it.
Now, as a true marketer, we start with the end in mind, okay? So who are we talking to? So for the guys out there, I'm from South Africa, proudly African. So we're saying we're talking to Brandly, Brenda, Zandi. They're stuck in maybe their 9-to-5. They're a brand manager. They look at you and they're like, damn, I want to build an agency. I want to do something. So that's who we're talking to.
Understood.
So I'm going to play this first one. We're going back to
2007.
Right? So perfectly. So I want to set this up, right? You know, the one thing that's undeniable about you is that, you know, often people say like, how does Gary get it right? You know, whether it's 5 years, 10 years in advance. And the question I put out here is, you know, so many people, and especially from our backgrounds, right, we are brought up in a society where you've got it's post-apartheid, you've been through so much, right? Yes. Then there's black tax that you're paying. So it feels almost selfish to say to your parents, you know what, I want to go do my own thing. And often you land up sitting in corporate or agency or whatever it is for 10, 15 years. And when I look at the optimism here and you're foreshadowing and saying, you know, Web 2.0, let's say you're talking to Zandi and she's like 7 years in and she's scared of leaving. What advice could you give her like right now in terms of, hey, you can take the risk and don't have that parental guilt?
That if Zandi spoke to 70, 80, 90 year old people, not named me, and not someone who is her grandfather or mother, a non-relative.
Yeah.
That if she spent a lot, if she's had 5 conversations with anyone who's 80 years old and asked them about life, the number one thing she would extract is you don't want to live life for regret.
Absolutely.
The thing I always said to Zandi is if you quit now working at Miller or Nike in Johannesburg or Cape Town, wherever you are, and it doesn't work out, this dream that you have that's making you want to jump, well, good news. You can always go and work for Procter & Gamble or Unilever or Kraft.
Yeah.
The thing that people that tend to be stuck in a corporate environment don't understand is that the world has done a very effective job to tell you that you having a gap in your resume is bad at a time when having a gap in your resume is good.
Yes, exactly. Because resumes are supposed to, we say CVs back home,
right?
CVs need to look a certain way.
That's right.
I was saying to him, like, I started out as a DJ, and then I was like, I cannot be a 40-year-old DJ. And I took that and made it into a CV. I still, to this day, even for my latest job, they were like, what's that gap? But I made it a positive story.
Well, that's right. And more importantly, like, the world's changing. This company, we've never required a college degree. I have no clue where these two gentlemen went to college. Did you go to college, Justin?
Yeah.
Oops. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't even cross my mind.
It's a non-factor.
And so the world's moving. And so if you play your life by yesterday's rules, you're in trouble.
Absolutely.
You're better off playing your life on today's rules with an eye towards tomorrow's rules. And so what I would tell Zandi and anybody else is either you won't do it and you'll regret it your whole life.
Exactly.
Or you will do it, it'll either go phenomenal and be the great gift, or you'll lose, and at least you tried, and now you can go back to a job.
And you know the fun thing is when you go back, because I did a stint in entrepreneurship, it actually just makes you smarter to handle your P&L, right?
100%.
Because you're like, I handle the risk on my own.
Yeah, a lot of people are being humbled in the last 10 years of not being capable of being entrepreneurs. And that's okay. I was with a creator today at an event who has amassed millions and millions of followers through ice cream and viral ice cream. He thought, like, oh, let me go build an ice cream store too. He realized he couldn't. And so now he's back to doing full time, and that's great.
That's great.
That's not a loss. That's not a scarlet letter.
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, it's going to make people realize that entrepreneurs who could pull it off, it's a very small, rare talent.
Absolutely.
And I don't think I'm special for that. That's like an athlete or a singer or an artist. Like, everyone has different skills. And so I would say that if it's burning inside of you and you want to try, you must, because regret is the ultimate poison in life.
Absolutely. I think that sets the tone perfectly. Number one, I love when you do these vlogs, right? Because you did one in Dubai as well. It innately shows us like how hard it is to actually do the thing, because it's easy to look in and say, yeah, you've got a team. It's so easy to roll out. But the iconic part here was the fact that, number one, you were learning from the market. I don't want to swear, but I have to say, like, the thing that I hate with my peers is we have like a little WhatsApp group, right? Yes. So we're all from different brands. And they're like, oh, but Desh, like this culture thing, it's moving so fast. Like, where can I learn? And I'm like, have you opened your feed? Like, you can't just expect to get it in a book or just sit with the CMO, right? And so again, let's talk to proverbially Zandi. They're sitting there and they're like, oh, I just feel like I'm not in clue with culture. But here's you, every single week, you're putting yourself out there. Any words of advice for the brand managers that just feel, I can't keep up with culture and the insights?
That there's no choice.
Mm, mm.
You know, when I hear people say, well, I can't keep up with another platform as a creator, like, Gary, I don't want to post on these. Like, all you're doing is you're limiting your upside.
Absolutely.
And I think the reason most brand marketing is very bad is because I do think that most brand managers and CMOs live in ivory towers and boardrooms and have no idea what's actually happening to their consumer and are more worried about their customer, meaning the retailer that sells their stuff, than the customer that buys it from that retailer.
Exactly. Joe's Tavern and not, you know, Chaba that's buying the Castle Lights.
That's right. And so for me, the reason I'm always able to win historically or why I get a hard time from the establishment is because I don't think about anything but the consumer.
Yeah.
I don't know how to. Mm. How could you possibly do that?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Exactly.
That's the ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, what's a good marketer? You know, like you reverse engineer backwards.
Yeah.
The goal is for someone to buy your stuff. If you don't understand what's interesting to them, the biggest issue with professors in marketing is they speak in theory versus reality.
Absolutely.
Of course, reach
and not market context as well, because MENA is different to the rest of Africa.
Of course. Mm. All I think that matters is relevance. Yeah. It's why the point you just made, forget about me, you know, forget about Europe versus Africa versus America. I'm talking about Manhattan. This is a small island.
Yeah.
Do you understand how different the people that live up there, that's the Upper East Side, are than the people who live down there?
Oh, can I say
Tribeca?
The joke?
This is not just America. This is not even New York State.
Yeah.
This is not even New York City.
Yeah.
This is little Manhattan.
Yeah.
And literally 20-minute walk this way and 25-minute walk that way, it's like bizarro different parts of the world.
We're staying in Times Square and we're just like, what is
that? Yeah, Times Square's not even New York. It's like a melting pot of tourism.
Exactly.
And so, I think marketers are looking for simplicity.
Don't forget,
a brand manager has a lot of responsibilities besides marketing.
Yo, I know.
they have supply chain.
Yeah. Price increase.
They have, which is real. They have retail relationship,
Absolutely.
Distribution. They have to get along with the sales team.
Mm.
Like, I have a lot of empathy for everyone we're talking to on the call.
Mm.
That empathy doesn't allow me to look the other way.
Got it.
When the last thing they are is consumer centric.
Absolutely. No, it's well said. And the thing I want to add in is the unconscious bias as well. Because so many times you'll have brand managers sit there, oh, I don't listen to Amapiano. Now every brand manager wants to book the biggest Amapiano DJ because it's cool now, you know?
That's right. Like that stuff I have never understood. I'll never forget, early in my career, I had a 65-year-old white male who was selling product to teenage diverse Americans say to me, but Gary, I don't get YouTube. And I said, good news. We're not trying to sell this candy to you.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't give a shit that you don't get
me,
it.
I didn't see the ad. I'm like, because you're not the target market.
Sorry.
Okay, cool. It's like, were you speaking to me at this point? By the way, 1.7 million views today. Nice one. So basically with this one, right, like LinkedIn, and I love how you show up on LinkedIn, and right now, especially in South Africa. In South Africa, there's this whole rise of B2B influencers,
yes.
right? So you're seeing like brand managers at Nike, yes. AB InBev, and I love it. But, you know, again, when we have this offline chat, it comes across like, oh, you guys are so self-involved. You're always on LinkedIn.
Self-promotion.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's like those that get it, and those that don't. But I found it to be a very effective, you know, platform, even for getting recruited, right?
Of course.
In now, 2024, do you feel that it's very saturated and you feel like there are new tactics if someone wants to come in and disrupt. Let's just say again, Zandi now feels she needs to amplify.
No, I think Zandi, whether she wants to be a B2B influencer on LinkedIn or she wants to be a TikTok influencer or she wants to be a YouTube influencer or a Twitter influencer, the great thing about attention is it's a free market.
Yeah.
It's like sports. If tomorrow you are good at YouTube and you had no success prior than that day, whether you've been bad at it for 3 years or you never did it before, the day you start, it will work if you are good at the craft. Absolutely. It's marketing yourself is like sports. If I never played tennis and tomorrow I went on the court and I'm just naturally athletic and I have good hand-eye coordination and it goes well, it's the beginning of me being good at it.
Absolutely. And just be authentic, right? Nobody wants to know about you getting a promotion. Talk about the bad days.
Well, that's LinkedIn. To your point, that's not even doing content.
Yeah.
When people know that you got promoted on LinkedIn, it's because you updated your account and it's an automatic post.
And that's what they think.
That's not content.
It's not.
That's just the way that LinkedIn works as a program. Absolutely. And when you update your bio, it automatically...
No, because people get so chuffed. They're like, I updated my profile. I'm like, you know, there's more to it than that.
Yes, LinkedIn is a social network.
Exactly.
Many people that it sounds like, when someone says that, that's someone who still thinks of it as a tool.
Absolutely, and it's a long journey.
So this is a big one.
Yeah, you know, like, you. Sorry, I know exactly like 9 hours. Going. But this is also controversial, right? Because I know that people will say, but like, you don't really live where I lived. So just for context, I'm obviously South African Indian, right? Born and bred there. And one of the hardest roles I had was when I was on Johnny Walker. I can say it because I don't work there anymore. And I had to cover emerging markets.
Yes.
So I'm talking Benin, Togo, Cote d'Ivoire.
Yeah,
and
tiny
I realized
markets.
When you travel to these markets, yes, every place is going to have a divided society. But in every single country, you had creators, for an example, wanting to do the best. So I resonate with this because I think you're not defined by your zip code, as what we say, postal code, right? Because if you have it in you and you find the channel, look at the stats. I mean, Gary, like digital maturity is moving so fast in Africa. You know what I mean? Everyone is mobile centric, mobile first. So it's not the fact that everyone doesn't have access to the internet. It's about them understanding what are you going to do once you have that access.
That's right. And right? By the way, when I'm speaking about this, of course there's different opportunities in different situations, but to your point, like when we're talking about internet access, we're in a much better place than we were 20 years ago.
Yeah.
When we talk about social network access, like, I mean, look, do I believe that if you were born in North Korea today, that you have less of an opportunity of being a TikTok star? Of course you do. Yeah. You live in North Korea.
Absolutely.
Like of course, but anybody who watched that video,
Exactly.
You got it? That's when people say to me, that's a bullshit video, Gary. I am defied by my zip code. I'm like, you saw this, which already defeats the purpose.
You're part of the 1.3 million views.
You're a human being that has access to the internet and could watch a YouTube video.
No, exactly.
And so the most followed person on TikTok in the world is from where?
You know it. I didn't even come back home.
Right? And so like, I will never accept that. And here's why. Even if it's true that wherever you're from is more challenged.
It is, yeah.
If someone has ever made it from where you're from, they've established the ability that it's possible. Absolutely. And more important, if you believe that you can't, it's already over.
Absolutely. I mean, two examples, Trevor Noah and Tyler. Trevor Noah, like, we know him as Trevor. You know what I mean? We've seen him in the malls and stuff. But we see him now, like, Grammys and stuff. And it's mind-blowing. But digital was a big catalyst for him to break through. And now you look at Tyler. Like, Hubba went to school with Tyler. He literally just remembers her in the cafeteria. And now she's probably going to win a Grammy.
That's
so
right.
You're right. If you're watching this, then there is no excuse. This was such a great conversation, and I just feel like more people should have seen it because, you know, we also know Black Coffee for a long time, and to get him very vulnerable like that, where he talked about, like, it shook me, the fact that he said, like, he was herding cows, and he would look up and think about what would his life be. But then you mentioned the point about digital and how when he even kind of, you know, approached digital, he realized, oh, there's a tangibility element to it. So coming back to this theme of Zandi, right? So Zandi has all these pressures, and she's feeling some type of way about staying or leaving. The thing is what's also happening is people have elitism regarding where they work, right?
Yes.
So it's like, if I'm a brand manager, oh, you work for KitKat, you good people. Oh, sorry, what's that brand? And so, you know, when you talk about losses, I like it because in my life, I've worked on amazing, sexy brands. And then I've worked on brands where people are like, don't really stock it. But I'll tell you what, I learned more on the unsexy brands than the ones that already have awareness. What is your take on that? You know, on
that is corporate high school dynamics. Like that is one of the lowest forms of intellect and kindness. Judging someone based on the brand, I get it.
Yeah, it happens.
Honestly, I really struggle with that entire framework. Yeah. Like, as if, to your point, you're talking very narrow marketing circles.
Absolutely.
As if you're a better person because you work at BMW than somebody that works at a brand that, or Honda at least. But what you're saying is like, there are big brands and there are brands that people don't know.
Exactly.
Look, you're talking to someone who so is not interested.
I'm sorry, Gary, that also happens on agencies as well.
Of course
right?
it does.
Oh, so you don't work for a WPP agency?
It's the number one thing I tell people when they join VaynerMedia. Every time I hire new creatives.
Yeah.
That work at Droga or Wyden or Crisp or like all these big shops, I'm like, you're about to learn humility. Because in those other places, in this bullshit marketing world we live in, if you're a Droga creative, they're gonna just think you're good. Yeah. And at VaynerMedia, they think it's the Gary Vee show or social media and they don't respect it as much. But in reality, this is the actual thing. Just like being a star on Netflix 7 years ago was not as fancy as being a star on a TV show, and now it's the reverse. It's the same shit over and over.
Exactly.
What I would
Get
say
over
to you on
yourself,
that, yeah, honestly, like I just think that's a bunch of insecure people running in an insecure framework, and I feel bad for it. And at worst, I don't like when people are mean about it. That's what my reaction is, visceral, because watching people put people down as if they're somebody, I don't understand the lack of humility in corporate marketing.
It's wild. That's why I think people want to leave as well.
Of course, it sucks.
But that is why I wanted this conversation, because Gary, like, until we get you to South Africa to come and speak, the thing is, so many of my peers watch you, you know, and we love what you say. The thing is, we go back to our day to day and you're like, okay, but this is the reality, right?
By the way, in America too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is not a South African phenomenon or a smaller market or Dubai or Miami. It is corporations.
Exactly.
People are living in fake environments. They're fake meetings.
Yes.
I tell people all the time, I don't want to be in a fake meeting.
Exactly.
Like, I just...
That's why I hate networking events as well, right? I mean, I love a cans moment, but I also know the bullshit that happens.
Well, to me, it's funny. I understand what you're saying, and I'll say it a different way, but we're saying the same thing. I love networking events because I'm strong enough to realize what's fake and not.
Absolutely.
And so there's always real. You can always find 20% of the crowd real.
Exactly.
Like, I think what what's budding in the attraction of our budding friendship is... Look, you find people along the way who just see what you see.
Yeah, it just clicks. You know what I mean?
It just clicks.
And it's about also exposing the world, because I love this, because I feel like going back home now, after we finish the 99th and Speed Show, which we love, you know, we feel like you feel a bit more closer to South Africa. I would say Africa as well, because we're a very close community, you know, from Ethiopia all the way to South Africa. And speaking of, we got you a little something. He's scared because he thinks it's something real. There you go. But while you look at that, thank you so much, Gary.
Oh God,
I mean, we're definitely going to have you back.
The genuine giraffe.
Yes.
This is beautiful.
By the way, we're just saying South African giraffes are different to Kenyan giraffes.
Yes, I'm very aware.
And then this is a really nice indicator print. You must have your morning coffee or tea in it. It's amazing.
I will do that. Listen, actually, let's talk about Africa for a second.
Yeah.
35% of the youth in the world in a decade is going to live in the continent.
Yeah.
Because of the way the globe and the map work, people don't realize how big Africa is.
Absolutely.
It's not actually properly sized.
Thank you. You saw that infographic, right?
I've known it since junior year of high school.
Yeah.
I just don't think people understand that, much like the Middle East. Look, Dubai, what's going on in Saudi now? 25 years ago, when you talk to business people, I was in business.
Yeah.
I'm not a youngster anymore. When you brought up the Middle East, you had people being like, aren't they on camels? Like people are so silly, especially Americans. We're very insular. I love America, but we're pretty funny in our worldview. But the entire world's view on Africa is wildly underestimating.
Mm.
Like the rest of my professional career will be under an era of the rise of Africa as a continent,
absolutely,
as a world business power.
And we we're buying, because I mean, I worked in FMCG for the longest time, and I would have to go out and find sister markets like, say, South America. And I mean, I can say this now, it's a positive story. We were moving Johnny Walker as good as other markets, 100%. You know? It's not like everyone, whether it's the Dusty Camels or it's out on safari. We have this thing about aspiration, Afro-optimism.
Oh, I'm like, you know what I mean? Look, back to like looking at old videos, as I sit here in 2024 and say what I'm about to say, I will get great enjoyment watching this video in 2045. Mm. Africa, look, there's incredible things going on in the Middle East, especially in Saudi.
Absolutely.
Obviously, China has got one agenda to be the dominant player in the world. There's a lot of geopolitics. I'm not going into politics. Mm. I'm talking business. I'm talking culture. I'm talking talent. It is so clear to me, clear as day, that Africa's day in the sun, in the world stage. You see it with music already.
Oh my God, you see it. Yeah, we have playlists for you guys, by the way. It's I'm a piano versus Afrobeats.
It's absolutely, yeah. You see it. It's already happening, it's already clear. Just the sheer brain power. This becomes another thing that frustrates me. I don't think people understand the sheer talent, the sheer brilliance, the creativity. It's just gonna be a great joy to watch Africa 2030 to 2050 take its proper stage on the world stage. And and I'm excited about it. I as you know, behind the scenes, like I will be doing business in the market and I can't wait.
And I thank you for saying that, because sometimes you need someone to echo it. We believe in ourselves. We are very confident, by the way. I'm just saying that, you know. Yes. But I feel like sometimes having advocates like yourself say
it's
it,
nice.
Especially for the guys that are looking and watching this, right?
Of course.
And they're like, oh, okay. Can I tell you, that is why this black coffee one was so important, because yeah, besides the fact that it was at Cannes, we were like, whoa, the fact that Black Coffee is understanding the conversation with you was so powerful and you were sharing his story, it means that he sees value in you and he's unlocked you in our market.
100%.
So even it's me today, tomorrow I want my other peers to come and interview you, right?
Of course, of course.
So yeah, that's
about
it. Thank
you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.